भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नरं चैव
नरोत्तमं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं
ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः ओमज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः मुखां करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घायते गृह्णीत कृपातं मम वन्दे श्रीगुरु. So we'll continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam chapter 8. So we are in the last section of this chapter. We have just concluded the teachings of the prayers of Queen Kunti. So now this is the section where we'll discuss the lamentation of Yudhishthira Maharaj. So just briefly, just to summarize this chapter very briefly. So the way this chapter has progressed so far is that it starts with Uttara praying and Krishna entering the womb and saving Parikshit. And then there is this prayers of Queen Kunti. And now the prayers of Queen Kunti have concluded. And now Maharaj Yudhishthira is on the spotlight. So we'll briefly the contents. So Suta Goswami talks on the power of prayers, because just now the prayers of Queen Kunti are done. So now he's going to talk about, just one verse talks about the power of prayers. And then Suta Goswami talks about the illusion of affection. And then finally we'll hear Maharaj Yudhishthira talk about his lamentation. So before the war, we saw Arjuna's lamentation. And now after the war, we are seeing Yudhishthira Maharaj's lamentation. So that's this section. It's a very small section between two wonderful sections. There's the prayers of Queen Kunti and Bhishma Dev. So this is a very small section. So can somebody read? Prabhuji, can you read? Please.
Suta Vacha.
Pratayetam Kalapadai.
Parinuta Kilodayaha. Mandam Jahasa Vaikunto. Mohayan Iva Mayaya.
Translation: the Lord, thus hearing the prayers of Kunti Dev, composed in choice words for his glorification, mildly smiled. That smile was as enchanting as his mystic power. So the Lord till now has heard the entire prayers of Queen Kunti, and now after hearing that, he mildly smiled. And that smile was as enchanting as his mystic power. Okay, and this is the purport. All his devotees worship him in that way by chosen words, and therefore the Lord is known as Uttama Shloka. No amount of chosen words is sufficient to enumerate the Lord's glories, and yet he is satisfied by such prayers, as the father is satisfied even by broken linguistic attempts of the growing child. So here Srila Prabhupada is saying that no amount of chosen words is sufficient to enumerate the Lord's glories. So I was listening to a lecture which said that the amount of glories of Krishna are like the fine grains of the entire universe. So if you can count the amount of fine grains of the entire universe, Krishna's glories are as many as those. And it is also said that Lord Balaram actually counts those things. And his counting never stops because the glories of Krishna keep on increasing day by day. So that's no amount of chosen words is sufficient to enumerate the Lord's glories. And yet he is satisfied by such prayers as the father is satisfied even by broken linguistic attempts of the growing child. Then in one of the lectures on this verse, Srila Prabhupada says, instead of writing ourselves, if we follow the footprints of great devotees, we can practice how to offer prayers to Krishna instead of writing ourselves. If we in the beginning follow the footprints of the great devotees of Krishna and follow their principles taken to heart, how they have spoken, that will be advantageous because Krishna will be pleased. So here Srila Prabhupada in this lecture is saying that we should just follow how others are praying, especially in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I just picked up a couple of prayers in the last two chapters which I liked. So I'll just read the English. Oh my Lord Sri Krishna, you are the almighty personality of Godhead. There is no limit to your different energies. Therefore, only you are competent to instill fearlessness in the hearts of your devotees. Everyone in the flames of material miseries can find the path of liberation in you only. And then Uttara's prayer in this chapter itself, Uttara said, O Lord of Lords, Lord of the universe, you are the greatest of mystics. Please protect me, for there is no one else who can save me from the clutches of death in this world of duality. So, as Srila Prabhupada said, we should just follow these prayers of these wonderful souls. Bhakti Tirtha Swami, I was in the final days before he left this world. He gave this series of talks called the Beggar series. And in that, he shared one nice thing about prayers. In his initial days, it seems like he went to Srila Prabhupada. And then he asked, Prabhupada, what is that prayer that I should do to go back to the spiritual world? You know, and then Srila Prabhupada completely like ignored that question and said, just be in our temples. Somehow be connected to our temples and just be in the temple. And then Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj asked Prabhupada, so what does that mean? I mean, what is so special about your temples? Then immediately Srila Prabhupada said, our Hare Krishna temples are Vaikuntha, are the spiritual world itself. You know? And then Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj couldn't understand. So he said, please can you give me an analogy for me to understand this? Because a temple is just like a building, but how can your temples be the spiritual world? So then Prabhupada gave this wonderful example that just like how we have a consulate, like US consulate in India, in Bombay, the way the consulate is, even though it is in Bombay, the rules of that consulate are the rules that they follow in the US. Everything that they do there. So just like that, even though the temple may be like in Seattle or anything, but the temple is actually Vaikuntha. And then Prabhupada went on to explain, it seems so nicely, that how the temple, the Vasis, the people who stay in the temple, just like how people are in the consulate you'll find only Americans. So just like that, the people who are in the temple, they always wear dhoti, kurta, they put on tilak. They're like from the spiritual world, you know. And what do they eat? They eat prasad, and just like in the spiritual world. And then Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj could understand. And so the consulate example. And then everyone is involved in hearing and chanting about Krishna there. And then only a bhakta can give bhakti. Like only the consulate can stamp and give you the visa. So just like that, only. And then Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, because he was so intellectual, he asked another question to Srila Prabhupada. But that can be true for any build, any temple, right? You start a temple and is that Vaikuntha? Then Prabhupada said, no, only a person from Vaikuntha should come and start the council, the temple. Only then it becomes Vaikuntha. And then he was actually, then later on Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj came to know that it was, he was talking about Srila Prabhupada himself, that he came from the spiritual world and started all these temples. So they're like the spiritual world. And he shared this in the Beggar series. So I found this to be. And the other thing is, so someone from the spiritual world should come and open the place. And the other thing that I was hearing was, how should we pray? So when we stand in front of the deities, how should this? What should we do? How should we pray? What should be our mood? So I was listening to a lecture by Shyamanand Prabhu, who is one of the vice presidents in Chowpatty Temple. So he gave this class on expressing prayers through humility. And then he said that there are three stages of prayers. The first stage is called Samprarthanatmika prayers. And this is the prayers made by devotees who, for whom attachment for the Lord is not completely manifest. That there is some attachment, but the attachment is not fully manifest. So it is called some Prarthanatmika prayers. So here, since the love is not completely manifest, so the point that Prabhuji was making on this was, like sometimes when I went to India this time, last time, what happened was, everyone was saying that whatever you do, you must do it perfectly. You know, because when we're walking and chanting, sometimes we always keep chanting, but they say that no, that's not right. We must sit and you must meditate, you know, on the Brahma, on the, some white light, or so, that you must do it perfectly. Otherwise, it's not this thing. But here, Prabhuji was saying that like a baby, when a baby is walking, even if the baby is not walking perfectly, still we should encourage that baby, you know, to walk. We should not say, oh, you're not walking properly, don't walk. Right? So like that, we, in this stage, you can make prayers in that baby-like manner. You know, even though the attachment of the Lord is, it does not mean that you should stop praying. You should still continue to pray. And then, so how should we pray? So then, Shyamanand Prabhu says that just stand in front of the deities and pray that, Lord, I am yours. You know, I am yours. Everything that is mine, my body, my words, my actions are yours, like that. So he said that initially, but slowly over a period of time, you will get that, the right attitude. And then the next one is Dainya Bodhika, the next stage. So here, prayers are made when one is extremely feeling humble and feeling extreme worthlessness. So here, the example he gives was about Narottam Das Thakur and all our acharyas who have written these prayers, where they express their prayers in a state of complete humility and extreme worthlessness. So they're in that stage where they can actually genuinely make prayers in that consciousness. And the third one is Lalasamai, and here he says this is like extreme greed for personal service. So this is the highest, he says. And then, all these three are by Rupa Goswami, and Prabhuji explained in that lecture. And he says that there was this one disciple of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur who went and who asked Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur about this third stage. And he said, I also have extreme greed for personal service. I want to do this, I want to do that, and things like that. And it seems Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur went into deep meditation. He just kept quiet for some time. And then he said, oh, is that so? You know, for many, many years, I've always been wanting to offer one flower to Krishna, and I'm still not successful. So then the disciple understood that we may keep flower on the altar, you know, but is Krishna really accepting that? You know, so what should we do for Krishna to accept that? So it's not easy. So that way. So these are the three steps or sentiments by which we can make prayers. And that lecture is there on ISKCON Desire Tree. You can listen to it. So the next words, Prabhuji.
Tam tambadam iti upamantraya
tambadam iti upamantraya
ravishya gajasavayam
ravishya gajasavayam
striyascha svapuram yasyan
striyascha svapuram yasyam
prena rajna nivaritah
prena rajna nivaritah.
Thus accepting the prayers of Srimati Kunti Devi, the Lord subsequently informed other ladies of his departure by entering the palace of Hastinapur. But upon preparing to leave, he was stopped by King Yudhishthir, who implored him lovingly. So the Lord here is planning to leave Hastinapur and is going towards Dwarka. And then at that point, so first he meets Uttara, then Kunti Devi, and now Yudhishthira Maharaj is coming and begging him to stay for a few more days. And because he told them, his request was immediately granted. Because he begged, the Lord immediately granted his request and decided to stay for a few more days. So here, so in one sense, Yudhishthira Maharaj overruled Krishna's desire. So that's what Srila Prabhupada focuses in the purport. He says, no one could make Lord Krishna stay at Hastinapur when he decided to start for Dwarka. But the simple request of King Yudhishthir that the Lord remain there for a few days more was immediately effective. This signifies that the power of King Yudhishthira was loving affection, which the Lord could not deny. The Almighty God is thus conquered only by loving service and nothing else. He is fully independent in all his dealings, but he voluntarily accepts obligations by the loving affection of his pure devotees. Right? So, even though he is Bhaktavatsal, and supremely independent, but he accepts the loving affection of his pure devotees. So, in one of the lectures that I heard on this verse, Srila Prabhupada mentions that Krishna is Ajita. That means no one can conquer, order, supersede him. Like even when he was 3 months old, he killed demons like Putana and so on. And Kamsa tried as much as he could to conquer Krishna, but he could not. Right? So he planned very nicely to conquer Krishna. He did Dhanuryagna, and then he had this elephant, Kuvala. I think the name is, and then he had Charur and Mushti. He placed the elephant right in front, near the gates, so that as soon as Krishna and Balaram are coming, they could attack and, kill them. And then after that, he had Charur and Mushtik, demons waiting for Krishna and Balaram. So no matter what he tried, he was not able to conquer Krishna. But that Krishna, who cannot be conquered, was conquered by his loving devotees. And we have seen in that lecture, Srila Prabhupada says, Ajita Jito Api Asi. He is conquered by his loving devotees. And then in that lecture, Srila Prabhupada gives examples. And so all these quotations that I have are exactly from Srila Prabhupada's words. So first he talks about how Bhishma was conquered. So Bhishma conquered over Krishna. Instead of conquering over Arjuna, he conquered over Krishna. So Bhishma, he said that he was, the next day in the battlefield, he said, I'm going to kill all the 5 Pandavas. Because Duryodhan felt that Bhishma was being partial towards the Pandavas. So he said, I'm going to, and then he requested, and then Bhishma made this vow that I'm going to kill all of them. And I have these 5 arrows. And that's when, as all of you know, Duryodhana kept those 5 arrows, and then Arjuna came. And then Bhishma also makes the promise that tomorrow, either I kill Arjuna or Krishna has to break his promise. And Krishna actually broke his promise of not fighting in the war. And he took a weapon and actually he started attacking towards Bhishma. So in the one sense, he is saving Arjuna. And in the other sense, he is conquered by Bhishma also. So that's why, so Krishna can be conquered by his loving devotees. There are many examples, and in that lecture, Srila Prabhupada also mentioned, like in this case, Maharaj Yudhishthir, he conquered over Krishna's decision. Right? If you become devotee of Krishna, then Ajita Jito Api Asi. This is a statement of Lord Brahma that Krishna can be conquered. And there are other examples. Yashodamai conquered over Krishna. How Krishna was afraid of his mother. You know, Mother Yashoda, Krishna is running and Mother Yashoda running behind him. And then she caught him and Krishna was so fearful and she was able to bind him. So what Kamsa planned so much he couldn't do, Mother Yashoda could easily conquer because she was his beloved devotee. You know. And then that is the reason why pure bhakti is very rare. Because once Krishna gives pure bhakti to somebody, then he can be conquered by their love. So recently also, like, we can see Raghunath Das Goswami. So once while he was meditating on the banks of Shyamakund, there was a tiger, I think two tigers, they were coming. And then there was this cowherd. Krishna actually came to protect Raghunath Das Goswami. And Sanatan Goswami actually saw that. And later on told Raghunath Das Goswami that, see, if you had a kutir, then Krishna wouldn't have to come. That is why he built this kutir. And there was other time again, Raghunath Das Goswami, when he was meditating in the banks of Radhakund. It was very hot day, and he was sweating. And so Radharani herself personally came and covered, like held a veil, her veil. So so that, and she was sweating. And then at that point, again Sanatana Goswami came and saw. And then as soon as he came, Radharani smiled and she went away. And then again he scolded Raghunath Das Goswami that because of you. So like that, the Lord, you know, protects his loving devotee, and he can be conquered by his loving devotee also. So any devotee can attain that stage, controlling Krishna by love and affection. There is no question. Again, this is from Prabhupada's lecture. A devotee never likes to control over. They want to serve Krishna. This is also service. When a devotee conquers over Krishna or controls over Krishna, that is also service. So, yeah. Next verse.
Vyasya der Ishvare Hagne
Krishne
Nadbhuta Karmana
Prabodhito Piti Hase Prabodhito Piti Hase
Nabodhyata Sucharpitaha
Nabodhyata Sucharpitaha.
Translation: King Yudhishthir, who was much aggrieved, could not be convinced. Despite instructions by great sages headed by Vyasa and Lord Krishna himself, the performer of superhuman feats, and despite all historical evidence. So King Yudhishthir could not be convinced. So he was very disturbed that he actually killed so many people. He was feeling guilty that because of him, this whole war took place. And so many people had to die, and so he was feeling very bad. And here in this verse it is said, Sutta Goswami says that no one could convince King Yudhishthir. So can anybody take a guess why no one could? And he mentions even Krishna and Vyasa couldn't convince him. Can anybody guess why they couldn't convince Yudhishthir Maharaj?
Because he wanted to glorify Bhishma.
Yeah, exactly. So that is, and immediately Srila Prabhupada mentions that in the first line of the purport, that as super soul of King Yudhishthir, he did not allow the king to be convinced by the words of Vyasa and others, including himself, because he desired the king hear instructions from the dying Bhishma Dev, who was another great devotee of the Lord. So essentially what Krishna is doing here is he is again glorifying his devotee, and he is giving credit to his devotee, and we will see, Srila Prabhupada explains. So the Lord wanted that at the last stage of his material existence, the great warrior Bhishma Dev, see him personally and see him, see his beloved grandchildren, King Yudhishthira, etc., now situated on the throne, and thus pass away very peacefully. See how much Krishna is caring for Bhishma Dev. So he wants to glorify him, and he wanted to make sure that he passes away peacefully. And Bhishma Dev was not at all satisfied to fight against the Pandavas, who were his beloved fatherless grandchildren. But the Kshatriyas are also very stern people, and therefore he was obliged to take the side of Duryodhan because he was maintained at the expense of Duryodhan. Besides this, the Lord also desired that King Yudhishthir be pacified by the words of Bhishmadev, so that the world could see that Bhishmadev excelled all in knowledge, including the Lord himself. So Krishna glorifies his devotee. So in the lecture on this verse, Srila Prabhupada says, so why did Lord Ram have to send Hanuman to cross 3000 yojanas to find Sita? He could have done it himself very easily. It was only to glorify his devotee Hanuman. Arjuna, after seeing the Vishwarup Darshan, he saw everyone like Bhishma, Dronacharya, everyone being killed. I mean, in the Darshan, he saw them going back to Krishna. And then he could have thought in his mind, why can't Krishna do it himself? But again, Krishna wanted to glorify his devotee. He wanted Arjuna to be an instrument. So that's... And then Lord Chaitanya, why didn't Lord Chaitanya preach all over the world? Lord Chaitanya could have preached all over the world very easily. Why didn't he do it? Because he wanted to give credit to his devotee, Srila Prabhupada. It's so like that, over and over again we see that Krishna is always glorifying or giving credit to his devotee. And then even Brahma, so he also empowers, his devotees. So from Brahma's thumb, Atri was born, and from Brahma's eye, Brahma's eye, Atri was born, and from Brahma's thumb, Daksha was born. So all this Krishna could have done himself, but he empowered Brahma to do these things. So in that way, he is always giving credit to his devotees. So all that we need to do is to become instruments in Krishna's hands and in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Next verse.
Aharaja dharmasutas.
Aharaja dharmasutas.
Chintayam suhrudam vadam.
Chintayam suhrudam vadam.
Prakritenatmana vipra.
Prakritenatmana vipra.
Sneha moha vasam gataha.
Sneha moham vasam gataha.
Translation: King Yudhishthir, son of Dharma, overwhelmed by the death of his friends, was aggrieved just like a common materialistic man. O sages, thus deluded by affection, he began to speak. So the last three verses we covered are still by Suta Goswami, and after this Maharaj Yudhishthira will speak. And then in all the lectures that I heard on this verse, Srila Prabhupada focuses on the Sneha Moha, which is Sneha is translated as affection and moha is illusion. So the illusion of affection. So we'll, in the Srila Prabhupada's purport, King Yudhishthira, though he was not expected to become aggrieved like a common man, became deluded by worldly affection, by the will of the Lord, just as Arjuna was apparently deluded. So as I mentioned before, before the war, Arjuna was lamenting, and after the war, it's Maharaj Yudhishthir was lamenting. And it was by Krishna's will that this happened. The common man thinks of violence and non-violence in terms of the body, but that is a kind of delusion. Everyone is duty-bound according to one's occupational duties. A kshatriya is bound to fight for the right cause, regardless of the opposite party. In such discharge of duty,